Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to gather together and be able to open your word and dig in there to find some of that faith-building knowledge that helps us to be able to go out and face the wiles of the devil, that helps us to be able to go out and boldly proclaim you as our Lord and Savior. Please help us now as we dig into the Scriptures and let everything that we do always bring honor and glory to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Speaking on something that's growing and growing quite a bit in the world today, and that is earth worshiping or earth worshipers. There's nothing new. It goes way back. You hear the term Mother Nature. A lot of Christians use the term Mother Nature. Well, you shouldn't. You should never use the term Mother Nature when you're describing something that the weather or anything in the natural creation of God, use the term Mother Nature. Because Mother Nature or Mother Earth is just another name for the pagan goddess of Gaia, which her name is spelled G-A-I-A. And she was considered the mother of all the other pagan Greek gods and goddesses. Her union with a couple of the others created in their religion, all these other gods and goddesses that they worship. So when they say Mother Nature, or commonly used today, Mother Nature, that's who they're speaking of. This Greek goddess who is in control of everything, in control of the earth and all the natural forces and so forth. But Christians should never use that term. So be careful, because you will, as it says in the Scriptures, be held accountable for your idle words. So watch out for that one. And it can come on so easily with things that are going on today in this attitude of saving the planet, worshiping the planet. They have taken it so far to where it has affected our lives everywhere you turn. The vehicle you drive, the light bulbs you use, the water you drink, the clothes you wear, everything is being manipulated now by the earth worshippers. It has gotten so big that there are gatherings of all the world leaders. There's been summits. There's been two in recent years that have got all the world leaders together to try to control everybody and help them come to their belief system of worshiping the earth as well. Lifting the earth up to something way more than it was ever designed to be in our spiritual sense. To the point of worshiping the earth, earth worshipers. You find many people want to preserve the planet, save the planet, save the whale, save the dolphin, save the spotted owl, save the snail darter, I can just go on and on and on. And they have compromised people's lives. They have endangered people's lives. They have lifted these animals or the planet up above man. It was never intended that way. God did not design this planet to be more important, or any animal on this planet to be more important than man. If you will, turn to Genesis chapter 1. You know I love the book of Genesis. It is the foundation of all of our Christian beliefs. Genesis chapter 1, of course, is the chapter that speaks of the creation, the 6 days of creation. But let's look at one here where He creates man. And chapter 1, verse 26, and it reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." We have been given dominion over all of that. Now don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean you can go out here and just trash the earth and be as polluting as you want. Because you're going to mess things up and it's going to have detrimental effects on your health and your children's health. So don't be stupid about it, but don't raise it up to where you're worshiping the earth to where you're compromising the health of yourself or your children or your children's children because you want to preserve the earth so much that you're doing stuff to preserve the earth and lift it up above preserving mankind. Man has dominion over the planet, not the planet over the earth. These earth worshippers would have you to believe that man is the plague of the planet. That in any sense that man disturbs any part of the planet, any part of the ecosystem, that man should back off and let the ecosystem have the priority. To the point where if you buy a huge piece of property, thousands of acres somewhere, and it happens to have a marsh on it, and you want to channel that water so that you can use that fertile soil to raise crops, you can't do it. It's against the law to disturb a marsh on property that you purchased in the United States. It's wetlands, and wetlands are protected. They want to protect those swamps so the bugs can grow and the mosquitoes, and the mosquitoes can spread all kinds of diseases and stuff. You know, so it's ignorance. Like the snail darter, for instance. I spoke about this before out in California. These channels that they had made that were feeding water into this vast area, hundreds of acres of fertile cropland were being fed by these channels, and this little dumb fish decided to live in this channel. Well, once they found that this dumb fish was living in the channel, they said, well, you can't change the water levels of that channel because it will affect the life of this dumb fish. So let's stop the use of all this farmland and stop feeding all these thousands of people that will be fed because we can save this little dumb fish. I think you ought to stick a little dumb fish in the can and call him a sardine and eat him. But they get their priorities all out of whack. Just like, of course, you know, it's been a few years back, but you all probably remember the whole thing about the spotted owl. Oh, you can't cut down the old forest, the old growth forest, the big trees, because the spotted owl lives in the big trees. If you cut that down, then the spotted owl will vanish from... Well, then they found the spotted owl living in a sign in front of Kmart up on the big K. It was a nest where the spotted owl had lived. So it doesn't have to have these giant old growth trees to live. It can live anywhere it wants to. Just like the whole thing about the polar bear. You know, oh, the polar bears, they're going extinct. They're fewer numbers than there ever was. How they come up with those statistics, they send a group of college students up to do a research, and the college students come back with this information saying, yeah, there's a decline in the population of the polar bear, so we got to do everything we can to stop the melting of the polar ice caps, because then the polar bears won't have any ice to hunt from and to live on. Well, you ever been to a zoo? Zoos have polar bears in these places. They're concrete. They live fine on concrete. They don't have to live on an iceberg. And true scientists went up there and did some research, and there are more polar bears today than they've ever known being polar bears. So they lied the first time around about there being a decline in the population of polar bears. They are on the increase. If you talk to the people that actually live up there, they'll tell you the polar bear attacks are on the increase, not on a decrease. Just like the receding of the polar ice caps. I say, because man drives an SUV, they're melting the polar ice caps. Another dumb idea, because it's false, it's a lie. They're using a long timeline saying that it was 30,000 years ago from the last polar ice age, and that's where we had our last ice. Well, their timeline is flawed. They're looking at it stretched way out. We know that the earth was created roughly 6,000 years ago, so the timeline is much shorter. The ice age occurred immediately following the flood, so then it's even less time, because that was 4,300 years ago that the flood occurred. So it is on a melt, sure. Polar ice caps are melting in some areas. If not, we wouldn't even be able to live here. The polar ice caps had come down, well, maybe right at the edge, because polar ice caps come down about halfway across the middle of the United States. They receded. And they've receded ever since the event of the Great Flood. They're on God's timeline. He's in control of all of it, not man. Driving an SUV has not changed the polar ice caps. Just like Al Gore said that if the polar ice caps melted, the water would rise 200 feet and it would wipe out all the coastal communities. Well, researchers researched it and did some detailed study how much ice there actually is. They go over, and with their radar and with other instruments, they can determine how deep the ice is, and then, okay, calculate it all out and found out that if every ice cap that we have on the entire planet melted today, it would raise the water 18 inches. Well, when Al Gore got his big polar, that big thing they give you?
Nobel Prize.
That's it. The Nobel Prize. He received the Nobel Prize for doing that documentary that was just full of lies. He don't have to give the money back, even though what he said turned out to be a bunch of lies. They say that it influenced the people to where they're living better lives and protecting the planet because they're earth worshippers. It's not supposed to be that way. The Lord gave us dominion over the planet. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Flip, if you will, over there. We were talking about the flood and the event that occurred there. After the flood, after God destroyed this world with water, draw the waters back, He changed the entire environment. The entire environment changed as controlled by God. So in chapter 8, verse 22, these earth worshippers that have you believe that if we keep doing what we're doing, it's going to control the climate. Global warming. There won't be any more winters. What does the Word say? Verse 22 of chapter 8 of Genesis reads, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." The Word of God. So don't let the earth worshippers make you think that we're not going to have any more winters, or that we are in control of it. God is in control, not us. It's arrogant to think that anything that you could do in your life could possibly affect God's control over this planet. We cannot. Genesis chapter 9, in verse 1. Continue reading there. "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered." Never are we instructed in the Scriptures to be under or beneath or subsidiary to the animals or this planet. Verse 3, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things." So you can go out here and eat anything that's out there. I wouldn't recommend some of it, but you can go out there and eat any of it. God gave us that permission to eat. It says, we have dominion over them, not them over us. Worshippers, earth worshippers, would have you believe something else. And would have you believe that we could destroy this planet. We cannot destroy this planet. It is reserved, it is protected, it is sealed by God, is holding it and keeping it in place by His Word. He's spoken into existence. He's going to speak it out of existence at His timeline. Nothing we can do about that. If you will, look at Psalm 115. In Psalms 115, I got one verse for you here. You can read the entire verse if it applies, but I'm just going to take one for time's sake here. In verse 16, it reads, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men." We have been given the earth. We have dominion of the earth. We are the supreme creation that is upon this earth. Not any animal that is on this planet. They are all under your dominion. So don't let the earth worshippers make you think that you have to alter your safety, your life, your prosperity, your existence to make it more pleasant for the animals. There are areas within the United States, actually within the entire world, as a result of these summits, that have been designated as areas that cannot be populated by man. And these areas are on increase. constantly growing and growing. They are designating different properties as the government takes possession of these properties. And they designate no homes can be built on these properties. No one can build business on these properties. And a great area of the United States has already been designated that. Some of them they call national forests. Some of them they call preserves, reserves. These are growing and growing and growing to protect the animals. In Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, out in this big field, the guy put up these stones. They're kind of like Stonehenge-looking stones. And on there are these, what they call suggestions or guidelines for the future. One of them is that we should maintain a population of less than 500 million. Maintain a population of less than 500 million to preserve the planet. That means like three times that amount would have to be wiped off the planet right now to drop that population down to that level. It's believed that there, I get in all kinds of conspiracy theories and stuff like that on who's behind that and the movement that they're going into to try to reduce population. Of course, Planned Parenthood is all about that. Murder as many babies as possible. And there are other institutions around that are going in that direction as well to try to reduce the population. The New Age Agenda. Sister Nikki there just mentioned that there's what they call the New Age Agenda, which is part of this whole movement. Because they want to lift the earth up above man. They want to lift animals up above man. That we are the plague of the planet. I say anybody who believes that mankind is the plague of the planet, if they really truly believe that, why do they continue to go on to live? You know, if they really were devoted to that, then they ought to just kill themselves, right? And then that would reduce the population. But they're not about that. Because if you really look at the people that are behind it, they don't want to kill themselves. They want to make money on this. There's a lot of money in the green movement of these days. Look at the money that Al Gore made over writing that documentary. He made a lot of money. And he had so much money that he went out and bought himself a mansion on the coast. Oh, wait a minute. He said the coast was going to be destroyed when the floods of the melting ice caps. But yet he went out and he spent some of that money on a really nice mansion on the coast. So he didn't believe in himself anyway. Otherwise, he would have built, you know, found a mansion in the mountains somewhere. So it just shows you the fraud that's behind it. You can boil it down to what's the motivation? Their pockets usually are their motivation. But they can get people that have a desire to do something to make them feel like they've done something good. Like their life means something. People will turn to a movement such as the Green Movement and preserving the planet because they have nothing else in their lives that give them a feeling of importance, to feeling like they've accomplished something, to feel like they've done something good. So they go into these movements. They feed on that because within all of us, we have a desire to do something that makes us feel worth something. So if they become part of this movement, they feel like they are of a value because they're saving the planet, because they're saving a whale, because they're saving something else. It makes their life feel like it has a meaning. Like they're going to really make a difference in the world to come. It's a ploy of the devil to get them to fill in that void that is within them that needs to be filled with the love of Jesus Christ, that needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that needs to be filled with the attitude that we need to save souls, not save animals, not save the planet. Because we know, 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 reads, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. They don't want to believe in the Bible. They don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. They want to do stuff to provide desires to fulfill their own lust. What are those lustful desires? Many of it is profit. Some of it is just their simple behaviors. Continuing in verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed, was with water perished. Speaking of the judgment of God on this entire planet when He covered it with water in the days of Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, the heavens and the earth that we see right now, by the same word, what word? The word of God, which is Jesus Christ, are kept in store. He has preserved it. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We know that this planet will be dissolved, melted away. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why, like we mentioned in Sunday school, He is patiently waiting for more folks to come in to be saved, to become part of the family of God. So even though all this craziness is going on the planet today, He's still waiting for more souls to come to Him, to know Him, and have that void that's within them filled with the love of Jesus Christ. Instead of filled with the false fulfillment of saving a whale or a fish or the earth, it makes them feel good because they think they've done something great. But it's the devil confusing them, fooling them into believing that their life is worth something, when it's not worth anything until they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and get filled with the truth, not all those lies. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So it ain't going to do us any good to try to save the earth. God's going to destroy it, totally burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We know that all this. So why should our focus be on saving the planet when we know God's going to destroy all of it? Sure, don't mess it up so you have to live in a bunch of trash. You know, we don't want to be breathing polluted air or drinking polluted water. That just makes common sense. But don't raise it up to the point of worship, that you raise it up more important than serving God. In verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's everything that is about us will be melted away, the elements. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Like we were studying the book of Revelation, we know that we have that to look forward to as Christians. But these people that have turned their life over to serving the false gods, to serving the planet, to worshiping Mother Earth, Mother Nature, Gaia, whatever you want to call her or him or it, to where they've lifted up the animals above serving God. They've been distracted. They've been deceived by Satan. So don't be deceived by Satan and follow into that pathway of thinking that you have achieved something great in your life because you've done something to save the planet. This planet is controlled by God. This planet's weather is controlled by God, not by man. This planet's ice caps are controlled by God, not by man. This planet has a timeline. It's going to be fulfilled exactly like He said it, because all of His prophecies are true and correct, and He will destroy this planet at the appropriate time. Man cannot destroy this planet. Sure, He can mess it up and make it uncomfortable for us to live here, but He cannot destroy this planet. So turn your life over to the Lord. Worship God, not the planet. Give your life to Him. He'll come into you and give you a sense of fulfillment in everything that you do. Save souls, not the planet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It contains the kind of knowledge that we need. It contains the stuff that we need to be able to be on the right track instead of being distracted by the things that this world would want us to be distracted by, to be able to pull us off of the straight and narrow and get us down a pathway that seems to be a worthy pathway to travel, but yet it takes you right into Satan's world, right into a distraction to pull you away from serving the Lord. Please help us to understand that. Please help us to be able to spread the Word in a way that people come to You and know that the very important thing is that we spread the gospel to save souls, not save this planet. Thank You so much for this time we spend in Your Word. Give us the motivation and the boldness to get out there and proclaim the gospel, because we know that the days that You mentioned in the book of Revelation and these last days that we just read about are just right on the brink. Help us to have that sense of urgency. Thank You so much for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.